One of the things you learn is that you will never know everything. You will never even know most of the things that is out there in the world of finance. You just kind of need to learn as much as you can. Put it this way, you can learn far more in 10 minutes from speaking to someone in the job than you would in an hour researching things yourself.
Welcome to Secrets of the City, the show where we uncover the stories behind the people who work in the highly lucrative yet enigmatic jobs of the City of London. I'm your host, Ayush Santalia, and on today's show we speak to Haseem Shah. Haseem, unlike many of my other guests on the show, had his eyes set on a job in the city from a young age. Having studied economics at Oxford University, he now works as an equity research analyst at Mondrian Investment Partners, a role he's been in for a month and a half. Before that, he worked in Goldman Sachs' wealth management division in London for 18 months. But even before all of that, he spent 8 months working at Deloitte during a gap year between high school and university.
I did actuarial consulting in my gap year, and the reason I chose that was because I thought it would be the most difficult, and in that sense I would be able to learn the most. I knew it was quite a technical industry and I was kind of keen to build my technical skills, and I was quite interested in the kind of modelling aspect of it and kind of taking into account statistics and economic scenarios.
Now, for those of you who have never heard of the term, actuarial consulting is, at a high level, a modelling of risk. Normally, this is within the insurance and pension industries. For example, as an actuarial consultant, you may be helping a car insurer figure out how much they expect to pay out due to car accidents in a year, depending on the age of their customer base, what regions they're skewed towards, and so on. It's a job that uses a huge volume of statistics and probabilities to make predictions. And amazingly, the consultants do pretty accurately predict things like car crash rates or, in the case of life insurance, mortality rates.
I did enjoy it and I learned a lot, but at the same time also learned that that wasn't a career for me going forward, but I definitely kind of appreciated the experiences that I had there.
Why did you decide that wasn't a career for you?
I guess I was always more interested in the markets and in investments, and I guess that was kind of linked to my academic interest in economics, and I wanted a career that was well intertwined with that.
That career initially turned out to be at Goldman Sachs, where Haseem worked as an analyst in the private wealth management division. The private wealth management division is a branch of Goldman Sachs, where the teams manage the assets and investments of high net worth individuals.
And most of that division is kind of sales teams who manage the client relationship and have a kind of holistic view on their portfolio. And I was within a more product specific team where I was part of a specialist team that those sales teams would go to for any structured product solutions. So that's a specific type of financial product which essentially combines a zero coupon bond and a combination of derivatives to give a defined payout. It's basically just a different way of investing in the markets. A structured product can give you a different kind of payout. Maybe it's more defensive on the downside or more aggressive on the upside. We would educate the sales teams on how they worked, on the risks and benefits of it, and the clients as well. So it was much more of a transactional business, where we would pitch these ideas to clients, and ultimately if the clients agreed with the kind of trade idea, they would then trade those products.
So if I've understood that correctly, if you've got a high net worth individual, they will come to you guys to invest their money.
Yeah.
And they maybe have already invested some of the money in equity markets, potentially through Goldman or potentially through other firms.
Yeah.
And then they will also come to you and say, I want to invest some of my money into these structured products that you guys are selling.
Yeah.
And then you would sell them a bespoke product just for them, or would you sell them a pre-packaged product?
Yeah, most of them were bespoke, largely because the clients we dealt with were ultra high net worth. So they would typically have enough capital to invest in an individual product themselves. These products are available to everyday people as well. I know various banks across the high street would offer them for like a minimum of £1,000 investment to regular people like you or I. But that would be an off-the-shelf product, and they'd need like, say, 1,000 people to subscribe to that product to make it worthwhile. Whereas we could have one individual invest like £1 million in one of these products. So we would make them bespoke for them. We did have some kind of off-the-shelf products that people could bundle in together into, but most of the time it was kind of tailored to the individual client. And we might present them with an idea, but then we might kind of explore different iterations, maybe making them less risky or looking at different underlying markets, whether it's kind of the UK or Europe or US or single stock names.
Yeah. And what specifically was your job within that team? Obviously, you've got some analysts, you've got some salespeople. What was your role?
So at the structured products team was, there was just four of us. So my boss would kind of oversee everything and do a lot of the client meetings as well and try and win business. And then the three people under him, one of the other analysts was more focused on the sales side and pitching ideas to clients, speaking to clients in meetings and over the phone. And me and my other colleague were more involved in the trading side. So we would be involved more in the actual execution of those trades. So if a client did want to trade something, we would be involved in that. But we would kind of share responsibilities as well, in that I would also be involved in speaking to clients, going to meetings and trying to win business. But I guess I was just kind of more focused on the trading side, and pricing these products as well was a large part of what we did. So if a client would ask, say, here is a kind of product that I'm interested in, what kind of return would it give me? And we would kind of price that up for them. And that would change every day because it depended on market conditions.
You obviously were interested in a job in the city quite early on in your career. Before your full-time job at Goldman Sachs, as we've been speaking about, you did a summer internship there. Before that, you did a spring internship at Goldman Sachs in your first year of university. And obviously, before all of that, you had your 8-month stint at Deloitte. What attracted you to the wider world of finance so early on?
Yeah, so I, of course, like most people, I had looked at other industries. I was maybe a bit more narrow in my mindset than most people. I always knew that I most enjoyed the kind of economic side of things, and specifically within the industry, the markets. And I think the way I kind of gauged that was when I would read the news or watch the news, I was always most interested in what was happening in the economy, what was happening to financial markets. And I'd begun to read the FT, watch Bloomberg, and I just always used to enjoy that. That was more of a hobby than a chore for me. So I guess that was quite an obvious indication that that industry is where I should be going. And there were other considerations like work-life balance and things like that, and balancing work with family time and making sure I take care of my health and my well-being was also really important to me. So that was pretty much the main reason why I ruled out investment banking in terms of like M&A and that side of things, because I didn't think that that kind of a lifestyle was for me. Although, of course, anyone in these kind of industries works incredibly hard, and I'm no different to that, but there are kind of limits on how much you want to push yourself. And I'd feel like 12, 13 hours a day is maybe towards the upper end of that limit. And thankfully, I've never really had to work much more than that.
One of the things about jobs in finance and your job as well is that often they're very technical and complicated. There's a lot of jargon and theory that you need to know in order to be able to do the job. How did you get to the level of knowledge that you needed to have before starting the job?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you learn is that you will never know everything. You will never even know most of the things that is out there in the world of finance. You just kind of need to learn as much as you can. The bulk of what you need to know is within a small universe, and then there's just kind of lots of other things out there that might not be relevant or might come up from time to time. I think going into the internships and like going through the applications and everything, there is genuinely a very kind of low expectation, understandably, and I'd say probably rightly so, of students in terms of what they should know. A lot of us go into it thinking that these people know so much about finance and they're going to ask us incredibly tough questions. But coming through the other side of it and looking at it from the perspective of someone who works there, and I have interviewed people, and if I were to interview people again, I wouldn't ask them incredibly difficult things or specific things about financial products, because one student could have randomly come across a particular product. Maybe like they're just browsing through Investopedia and they've just come across it and they've learned about it. And another one might have never come across it before, but it's unfair to judge both of them based on whether they know this particular product or this finance theory or how to price a bond or anything like that. I don't think that's the right way to look at it. They do expect you to have other things like interest in the job and commercial awareness and maybe some kind of evidence of critical thinking, analytical ability, maybe through brain teasers and things like that. But all of the things you need to learn about the job and about the products themselves, you will learn on the job and you'll learn as you go along. And I think with some industries as well, it's actually detrimental to find random things on the internet, because a lot of things out there are wrong as well, or misleading, or confusing. So I think, put it this way, you can learn far more in 10 minutes from speaking to someone in the job, like when you're on an internship, speaking to your colleagues and things like that, than you would in like an hour researching things yourself. And also, a lot of things are very company specific. So the same thing in one company might be called something completely different in another company. And that can be confusing as well. There's lots of firm specific terminology.
Yeah, that's interesting. Speaking a bit more about your job at Goldman, was there anything about the role that surprised you?
I guess there was nothing that really stood out that was really surprising. I think maybe if I look back at what my preconceptions were, I think I expected it to be a more cutthroat environment than it was. And I think that's most people's kind of preconception of it, that company specifically, and maybe the industry at large, partly because of like how it's portrayed in the media and films and things like that. And it really wasn't like that. It was a much more pleasant environment than a lot of people think. And I think that was probably the most surprising thing. It was obviously a good surprise, and they wouldn't want that to be a surprise, because they would want their image to be more positive than that going into it. But they acknowledge as well that a lot of people do think about the company in that way.
Yeah, I think that reputation is definitely something that many Citi firms are trying to deal with. Was there anything else about the job that was surprising?
It wasn't surprising, but maybe to other people it might be. It was just like a very strong part of the culture of the company was the kind of emphasis on quality and excellence and delivering the best service possible. And that wasn't something that was just things on the website that you read about their culture and things like that. Was something that was very evidenced, and you see that pretty soon when you walk in there and when you start the job, and you realize kind of how much focus there is on that. And that helped me improve a lot and pick up skills that I wouldn't have picked up at other places, and simple things like having a very sharp eye for detail and make sure that there is like literally zero mistakes. Even if you might have produced a 40-page slide deck, and if there's one page number out, they will pick you up on it.
Just picking up on that point, how would you say that constant focus on quality came through during your time at Goldman?
I guess it's just through constant constructive criticism. Whenever you produce work, and there's a strong feedback culture there, and whenever you produce something, if there is anything wrong, they will they'll pick it up and they'll tell you, and you remember that stuff, and then you make sure that you double check and you look out for those things the next time, even though obviously everyone would like read over what they've produced and make sure that is fine. But then you know, if there's recurring mistakes or something that has come up before, you know, to make sure to directly go and look for that to make sure you haven't done that again.
Yeah, very interesting. I actually think that gives a good view into the culture of the firm, just that focus on quality. I think continuing on the same track, what was the most challenging part of your job?
The most challenging part was probably the intensity. It was very fast paced, and it differs a lot depending on what your role is and what and which team you're in. You can never kind of broad brush a company with any kind of experience or anything like that. But just for me personally, it was at times it was incredibly busy, and it wasn't necessarily the length of the hours that was fine. It was more the intensity of it, where like sometimes you're literally just like non-stop back to back for hours on end, and you don't even know where the time goes by, and like sometimes like you can't even go to the toilet and things like that. That was probably the most challenging part, and I definitely know a lot of other people have that experience as well, and definitely a lot of people had it a lot worse than me in that sense on the trading floor, where their jobs are definitely the most intense, kind of minute by minute, so to speak. So I'd say, yeah, that was probably the most challenging part, and sometimes that could be quite draining, where you'd really feel it after like a long week, or if you haven't had a holiday for a couple of months or something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's been echoed in some of my other episodes, is that city jobs in general tend to be very intense and very demanding. If we change tracks a little bit and talk more about your new job at Mondrian, you started kind of 6-7 weeks ago. What was the reason for the switch?
Yeah, so for me, the work that I'm doing now was kind of something that was always pretty much at the top of my list of what I wanted to do when I was applying for internships.
And just remind us what you're doing now again.
So I'm an equity research analyst. So I research stocks, amongst other things, helping out my team in managing our portfolios. So we manage money for institutional clients, mostly kind of US pension funds and endowments and things like that. And we are value focused, so we would we have that kind of particular style of management, and we're an active manager, so we try and beat the benchmark, and we do that by trying to invest in companies that we think have robust balance sheets, good long-term prospects for kind of consistent generation of earnings and cash flow, and ultimately paying out dividends for our clients.
So Haseem went from a job at Goldman Sachs, where he was managing individual high net worth individuals as capital, into typically fixed income financial products like bonds, to a job at Mondrian, where he is now managing funds for large institutional investors like pension funds, into equity investments like stocks and shares. As we've heard, going into equity research was something that Haseem was interested in even before his time at Goldman, but it wasn't so easy for him to get a job in that industry straight out of university.
There weren't many asset managers that had opportunities in my first year for internships. So most of the experiences that I had ended up being at bulge bracket investment banks. And even though I did the investment management internship at Goldman, they just kind of allocated me to the team that I ended up in. And I didn't really have much say over that. So I guess I never really kind of was able to narrow down that focus into the particular role I wanted to do. And I guess also at that stage, because you're only in your first year at university and you haven't had the experience in the industry, you're not 100% sure if that is the one thing you want to do, and you're more open to trying other things as it is. So I took all of the kind of changes in direction in my stride and just kind of went with it and enjoyed the stuff that I did, but I knew that it wasn't what I wanted to do long term, and I knew that it was not too late for me to kind of take a step back and start again in the particular role that I knew I was more interested in. And as I'd been able to get more experience and learn more about the type of work that I would be doing in this equity research role, then I kind of took that active decision to make that switch over and know that that was somewhere where I would be content to stay for a very long time and have no intention to leave anytime soon. I could definitely see myself kind of spending my whole career here if it works out and if I do well enough.
And what was the reason that you, I guess Goldman, does Goldman have their own equity investment division, or did they not have one and that's the reason you switched firms?
Yeah, they do have one, but it's very small and they don't actually have any research roles in the London office. They're all based in the US and Asia. So the kind of six or so people they have in the equity team in London are all salespeople. So yeah, even though it's a huge firm and there's like 5,000-6,000 people in London, there weren't really any of those particular jobs for me. And although a company like Mondrian is a lot smaller, about 170 employees, there's like 30 people doing the kind of equity analyst role, and that's what I wanted to do.
If we think a bit more high level now, I wanted to talk to you a bit more about the finance industry in general. We've seen that finance can encompass a lot of different things. I mean, you yourself have worked in equity investment, private wealth management, actuarial consulting. But given that breadth of knowledge, what would you say is the biggest challenge currently facing the industry?
The main thing would be around technology, and I guess that's the case for many industries, and it's quite an obvious one, but it is definitely probably the biggest disruptor to the industry. And we've already seen many jobs become obsolete because of technology, although it's obviously created many jobs as well in the fintech space. But I look at the trading floor, for example, and before, many of the trades would have been kind of someone there kind of connecting two people together, and it was very kind of high touch and maybe lower volume in that sense. But now you can just trade electronically with the quick click of a button and there's no person involved in it. I guess the challenges differ a lot depending on which kind of division you're in and maybe which particular product you're working with. So sales and trading would have different challenges to investment banking, to asset management. It feels like investment banking is probably the most insulated of those three, because when you think about M&A, for example, that it's quite difficult really to have a computer do that for you, to advise a company on what they should do on a transaction. And valuation is a very subjective thing. You can have all kinds of models and algorithms to value a company, but ultimately there's going to be subjective things that they would miss out on. Within asset management, it's definitely been challenged by beta investments. So like index trackers and things like that have become much bigger, and maybe people are saying that active management has less of a place in the industry, because as there are more and more market participants and there's more and more kind of technology driving the trading out there, it becomes more difficult to find alpha. But yeah, I'd like to think that there will still be a place for that human touch going forward. It just depends on kind of how much of that will remain in place.
Yeah, that's very insightful. I just wanted to finish off by asking, if you had to give your teenage self a piece of advice, given that you've had time at Deloitte and Goldman and now at Mondrian, what would that advice be?
Yeah, I guess the easiest thing to say might be, knowing where you end up, just try and get there earlier and maybe have a bit more of a focus on the specific thing that you want to do over the longer term. Obviously you only know that in hindsight, and you don't know that at that age. And I definitely don't like regret any of the decisions I made or any of the experiences I've had, because they've all kind of helped form where I am at the moment. And if, for example, I did only want to do this role and only applied to things in this industry, then I definitely wouldn't have ended up where I am now. There's almost no way I would have ended up at a company like Mondrian, because they don't do internships, they barely even have a grad scheme and things like that, and I only kind of got here from where I was before. So that's definitely a blessing, and hopefully will work out for me in the long run. But yeah, I guess I would then kind of feel that maybe I could have just started my career 18 months earlier in this kind of space and would already be further down the line. But no, there's nothing that I would really have changed or done differently.
That was Haseem on the latest episodes of Secrets of the City. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you next time.